What he said about the truth of religious principles being enshrined in the heart of the devotee, and Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta, therefore we should follow the path that has been chalked out by the Mahajans or great devotees is true. And certainly for us, in ISKCON, and I would dare to say for all of us in Kali Yuga now, after the appearance of Srila Prabhupada, he is the Mahajan that we should follow. Of course, there are many qualified teachers of the science of devotion who appear in the line over the years. But once in a while, one will be an especially empowered personality, such as Srila Prabhupada, who adjusts the eternal principles of Sanatana Dharma in special ways that are appropriate for the present time and circumstance. And Srila Prabhupada was such an acharya with a big A. There are acharyas with a small A, but he was an acharya with a big A. And therefore his position is special. Sometimes people or devotees give the argument that Srila Prabhupada is following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and others are also following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So to follow them or to follow Srila Prabhupada is the same, because they're all following Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Or the same argument could be given that Srila Prabhupada is following Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami, and someone else is also following Jiva Goswami or Rupa Goswami. So to follow them is the same as to follow Srila Prabhupada. But such a statement denies Srila Prabhupada's unique position, because he's not just a follower like the other acharyas with the small a. He's a follower, but he's an acharya with the big A. He has made adjustments in the application of the eternal principles that are unique to him and that are especially valuable for us to follow. And therefore, the best that we can do is to follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions and to learn from his examples, because we can learn, we could in some cases learn more from his example than from his instructions. As it is said, example is better than precept. In the early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada remarked that the chanting of the Panchatattva mantra is more powerful and more beneficial than the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. So one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, then why don't we just chant the Panchatattva mantra? We can chant the Panchatattva mantra on our beads instead of the Hare Krishna mantra. And Srila Prabhupada replied that we chant the Hare Krishna mantra because Lord Chaitanya chanted the Hare Krishna mantra. An example is more important than precept. Similarly, when Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the history of Ajamil from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when we were in Indore, he said that even if you're a fool and can't read the books, I think by fool he meant someone who's uneducated, who can't read the books. Even if you're a fool and can't read the books, but if you just do what you have seen your acharya do, you will become perfect. So we are extremely fortunate to have had Srila Prabhupada's association, and even to have the association of direct disciples who have had Srila Prabhupada's association. You probably know that there are four different ages called yugas. Satva Yug, Treta Yug, Dwapara Yug, and Kali Yug. And the four ages repeat in cycles like the four seasons. And in each age, there is a special method recommended for self-realization. And in each age, there's a special incarnation of Godhead who comes to propagate the specific method that is meant for the particular age. So the recommended method in Satva Yuga is meditation. In Treta Yuga, it is sacrifice. In Dwapara Yuga, it is temple worship. And in Kali Yuga, it is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And we also know that Lord Chaitanya is the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. But within one day of Brahma, there are 1,000 such Yuga cycles. And in only one of those 1,000 Yuga cycles does Krishna appear at the end of Dwapara Yuga. And only in the Kali Yuga that immediately follows the Dwapara Yuga in which Krishna appears does Lord Chaitanya appear. He serves the function of the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga, but he's more than just the Yuga avatar. He is avatari, he is the source of all avatars. He is Krishna himself, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. In the mood and with the luster of Srimati Radharani. So to take birth in the Kali Yuga in which Lord Chaitanya appeared is extremely fortunate. And as we know, Lord Chaitanya predicted Prativite Achejato Nagaradigram Sarvatra Prachor Hoibe Marnam. And in every town and village of every country of the world, my name or Krishna's name would be preached. And we also know that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, was the one to fulfill the prediction of Lord Chaitanya. How could something so wonderful happen? Even Lord Chaitanya's devotees were astonished by the thought. And the answer was given that Lord Chaitanya was going to send his Senapati Bhakta, means like the commander-in-chief of the devotees, to execute his mission. And that was Srila Prabhupada. So how fortunate we are to be born in the Kali Yuga just after Krishna appeared in Dwapara Yuga, in the Kali Yuga just after Lord Chaitanya appeared as the Yuga avatar, and just after Lord Chaitanya's special devotee, Srila Prabhupada, appeared to execute his mission, fulfill his desire. So Srila Prabhupada is not just an acharya. Of course, an acharya is a big thing in any case, but he's a special one. And you know, the best thing we can do is to follow him and serve him and glorify him. It's our constitutional position. And it's the best thing we can do for ourselves and for others. Now, as I was preparing to come over here, somehow, I thought of the film that you were watching and the experiences we had with Srila Prabhupada in Bombay. And one incident came to mind, and I'm not really sure why, but I will share it with you. Srila Prabhupada had one disciple who was in Bombay assisting, named Amoghalila Das. And Amoghalila Das didn't have so much personal association with Srila Prabhupada, but one morning he joined Srila Prabhupada for his morning walk. As a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada wasn't feeling so well, or the weather wasn't so good. So instead of walking on Juhu Beach as usual, Srila Prabhupada was walking on the rooftop of one of the old buildings that you saw in the film. And Amoghalila took the opportunity and came up the stairs and joined Srila Prabhupada. Now in America, in the temples, all of the devotees would do all the services. There's no question of hiring someone or paying someone to do any work in the temple. So the devotees would do everything. They would cut the vegetables, they would prepare the prasad, they would clean the kitchen, they would clean the pots, they would do the laundry. I mean, there are many funny stories about how we would do the laundry, but still, we would do the laundry. And and clean the bathrooms, everything, you know, from top to bottom. They would keep the whole temple clean and do all the services. And in India, maybe because there were few of us or the labor was cheap or whatever, but we began to hire people to clean the toilets and wash the pots and even cook. So on the morning walk, Amoghalila said to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, the devotees are hiring people to cook, to clean the pots, to clean the bathrooms. In America, the devotees did everything. You know, what's happening here? So Srila Prabhupada replied by quoting an Indian saying that anyone who goes to Lanka becomes a Ravana. So he was saying that they're good in America, but the same devotees, when they come to India, they want to have servants to do everything for them and sort of boss people around and lord it over. And they become Ravanas. And then he quoted it again. You know, anyone who goes to Lanka becomes a Ravana. So Amoghalila thought for a moment. And then he said, so Srila Prabhupada, and there were problems. I mean, there were always so many problems. So then Amoghalila said to Srila Prabhupada, so then, if we just follow your instructions as you've given them to us, if we just follow the processes as you've given it to us, then all the problems will be solved. And Srila Prabhupada said, "You have also become a Ravana." That you're even asking such a question shows that you've become a Ravana. Of course, if we follow Srila Prabhupada's instructions, of course, if we follow the process he's given us, all the problems will be solved. So, now, what I've just told you, I know to be true. And what I'm going to tell you now is, it's true that the devotees who said what I'm going to say said it. But I cannot say, anyway, I'll just say it. I'll just say it. So then, and I really don't know where this is going, but anyway. So then, Amoghalila started going around and saying, you know, Srila Prabhupada, you know, wants us to do all the services ourselves. We should get rid of the hired people. And, you know, we should just do all the services ourselves. So the next, later the next morning, the GBC, and this has no relevance at all to this fine example of a GBC and the worthy disciple that I'm fortunate to be sitting next to. But the GBC came to Moggallila Prabhu and told him that he had told Srila Prabhupada that a Moggallila was going around and saying we should get rid of all the hired help, and Srila Prabhupada said, "Why is that rascal creating such a disturbance?" That's what the GBC said. Then Amoghalila mentioned it to one of the other temple presidents from nearby in India, taking it for granted that Srila Prabhupada had said that. And the temple president said, "Do you believe that?" So, but we do know what Srila Prabhupada said, and we have to do it. You know, of course it's true. There is time, place, and circumstance, and that's also a challenge that we face, because things are changing so fast in the world that we actually have to be able to understand in a deeper way what Srila Prabhupada taught and what Srila Prabhupada did. Otherwise, if we just imitate, that also won't work. You might have heard the story that Srila Prabhupada told about the expert veterinarian who had an assistant. So the assistant was going around with the expert veterinarian, and the veterinarian was curing many of the problems of the animals. And in one case, he came to a horse that had a huge enlargement in his throat. So the veterinarian called for a hammer and he began to strike the neck of the horse, and the lump went away, the enlargement went away, and the horse was cured and everyone was happy. So the assistant was a little impudent, a little envious. So he thought, why should I just be the assistant? You know, I've seen what the expert does, I can do the same thing. So he started on his own, and whenever someone would call him with a problem, who had a horse with a problem, he would start to hit the horse with a hammer, and all the horses died. So, after some time, the expert happened to run into the novice, and he said, you know, I hear that you're going around hitting horses in the neck with a hammer, and they're dying. What are you doing? So the so-called student said, well, I'm just doing what I saw you do. So the expert said, you don't understand. That horse had swallowed a watermelon. So I had to take the hammer to break the watermelon. And when the watermelon was broken into small pieces, the horse could swallow it and he was cured. But you can't do that to every horse. You have to understand why I did it. So, of course, Srila Prabhupada told it in a different context, but I'm relating it to the point here that we need to follow Srila Prabhupada's example, but we also have to understand why he did something in a certain situation. Otherwise, if we try to just imitate what he did without really understanding why he did it, we may produce the opposite result. So, while we do wholeheartedly accept the principles and precedents that Srila Prabhupada set for us, we also have to understand why he did what he did, why he said what he said. And we have to act according to our realization. We can't imitate. For example, Srila Prabhupada would use words like fool, rascal, and expressions like, you know, we kick them in the face with boots. In Juhu, he said something even more radical. Should I say it? Anyway, our GBC said I should repeat it. So. Well, you might have I won't mention the name. But there is a famous person in the Bombay area who was against Krishna consciousness and who was really promoting bad things. So one friend, one life member, came to Srila Prabhupada and said, have you heard of so-and-so? What he's saying, or what he's done, you know, you should take some action against it. And Srila Prabhupada said, I know all about him. I urinate in his face. Now, Srila Prabhupada could say that, and no one would question Srila Prabhupada's position as a saintly person. You know, And he could say many things, but we can't imitate him. You know, we have to be who we are. Otherwise, it's artificial, and it could have an opposite effect. Even we have, you know, powerful God brothers. We may not be able to imitate them. Like once our dear God brother Tamal Krishna Goswami. We worked together in Bombay for many years, and early in our experience there, we were approaching prominent people to enroll them as life members. So there was one man who was very well known. He was very wealthy. At the time, there were only really two very tall apartment buildings in Bombay, and he lived on the top floor of one of them. And he was, like I said, he had a Hindu cultural organization. He was a wealthy businessman, and everyone told us about him and said you should make him a life member. So Tamal Krishna Goswami went to the top floor of the skyscraper apartment building, and he showed him the pictures of our activities. He took out the books, showed him the books, explained the membership program, and asked him to become a life member. And the man refused. And there was no reason why he should have refused. But no matter what Tamal Krishna Goswami said, he wasn't convinced. So finally, Tamal Krishna Goswami said, "You know, Mr. Bhatia, I'm glad that you didn't become a life member, because we don't want people like you as members of our society." And he picked up his briefcase, you know, put away all the books and pictures, picked up his briefcase and walked out. And Mr. Bhatia came chasing after him. He said, No, Swamiji, I want to become your member. I want to become your member. Please come back. Please come back. And he became a life member. But that was Tamal Krishna Goswami. I couldn't have said that. He could say it and he could make him a life member. I couldn't have. I might have made him a life member, but in my way, not in his way. So that's also a very important lesson, that we have to speak and act according to our realization and who we are. We can't be someone else. But at the same time, we remain the most loyal and obedient servants of our predecessor acharyas, and in particular of Srila Prabhupada. Anyway, I'm glad to see the progress here, coming back after many years. I remember at the time we got the land, all of the devotees were very excited because it was such a choice piece of land. And back then we had a little restaurant nearby in one of the shopping centers, and it was a nice restaurant. We had a program there. But now we have a big building and so many devotees in it. So it's been a lot of progress. But the real progress will be in our devotional attitude. That will be the real progress. There are many institutions that have big buildings. In fact, this might surprise you, and I don't often quote it, but in one conversation, Srila Prabhupada himself raised the question, why are people following us? So it's not because of the big building, because there are many organizations that have big buildings. Then one disciple said, it's because of your books. And Srila Prabhupada said, there are many organizations that have books. And he said, and besides, we distribute many books, but very few people read them. Prabhupada himself said that. So what makes them follow us? And then Srila Prabhupada himself gave the example. People follow us because we ourselves exemplify what is in the books. So we have to practice what we preach, in simple language. We have to exemplify what people find in the books, what people hear in the lectures, just as Srila Prabhupada did. You know, we may not use the exact same language that Srila Prabhupada used. We may not copy exactly what Srila Prabhupada did. But one thing he did is he exemplified what he taught. And that is what we should do. And that is Mahajanayena Gatasa Pantha. That we exemplify what we have learned from him. And repeat in our own way, if you know what I mean, according to who we are and according to who our audience is. And Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. And one last thought. A few days ago, there was a reception for me at the Radharadhanath Temple. And it's unfortunate that I'm the person in the example. Or maybe it makes the example even more appropriate. But I felt that Srila Prabhupada was pleased that the devotees were following the etiquette. With all the difficulties that we've had in the movement over the years, with even difficulties with leaders, the devotees were following the etiquette, and I actually felt that Srila Prabhupada was pleased. So that's also part of Vaishnava behavior, to follow Vaishnava etiquette. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.